Adam Posen is an economist at the Institute for International Economics. Mr. Posen, these two companies that are now joining together, Daimler-Benz and Chrysler, it is often said have very different corporate cultures. I wonder first, in the area of their relations with labor, whether there's much that they have in common.
There's very little they have in common traditionally, although Daimler-Benz is starting to move more towards the American model, which is part of the reason this is taking place. Traditionally, German workers, even in the auto industry, are considered Handwerk. They're considered skilled laborers who make high value-added products and therefore sort of like artisans. And they have very strong unions and a lot of power within firm decision-making. In the U.S., even though auto workers are frequently unionized and are very good jobs, they're seen as assembly line workers. They're not treated with the same kind of respect or empowerment that they are in Germany.
I once saw apprentices, young people involved in Daimler-Benz's apprenticeship program, Mercedes-Benz, young men who would come in and learn, and women who would learn to fashion a small model car and were very much imbued with a sense of being very highly skilled artisans. Don't you think that's going to continue regardless of the merger with Chrysler?
I think it will continue. The question is whether it will continue to be reproduced in the future. The so-called Dualsystem, the methods of those training apprenticeships you're talking about, Robert, have been under some pressure in Germany in recent years because the pace of technical change has been so fast. It's not always clear that the technical training in Germany, even though it makes for very proud and ambitious workers, doesn't always keep up with the times. There's also a question of what's called flexibility. This is always the trade-off you face, and this is a trade-off compared to Europe and U.S. in general. The more you specialize, the more you invest in your workers, the more you're at risk as a firm if they decide to get up and leave. Similarly, the workers can't then move from job to job. In the U.S., in Chrysler, for example, it's sort of worse for the workers in some ways because they can't be invested in to the same degree by Chrysler, but they can move away, they can switch jobs as needed. And so we're looking for some balance between those two.
So in the area of labor relations, the two companies are very different, and it's more the Americanization, you're saying, of Daimler-Benz that we're likely to see in the future than the Germanization of Chrysler. What about the company's attitude towards the automobile? And there's a big difference between that very expensive luxury car that we associate with Mercedes and the mass market Chrysler car we associate with the American company.
No, that's exactly right. We've got the sort of flip side of the hand worker versus assembly line worker is you've got the high value added luxury specialized good that the Germans sell at a high price versus the mass produced, not necessarily high quality, but adequate, low cost margin good that's produced by Chrysler. And this is one place where there's not going to be any convergence. This is actually a conscious synergy, I think, on the part of the firms. There's room for both kinds of products. Now, perhaps some forms of quality control can migrate from Daimler to Chrysler. Perhaps some ideas about efficiency or expanding production can migrate from Chrysler to Daimler. But that's something that's going to stay because each product's got its own niche.
Another difference between Daimler-Benz and Chrysler, simply because Daimler-Benz is a German firm, is that I would assume they have a very different relationship with their banks, for example, than Chrysler would.
Traditionally, that's been one of the big differences between German style of business and American style of business, is that German firms have tight, long-time relationship banking instead of going directly to financial markets, stock exchanges like we have in the U.S. And in these cases, the banks would sit there on the corporate boards, would own a stake in the company, and most of the company's financing would come through loans from that bank. That's what makes this so fascinating, is that Daimler-Benz is one of the first companies in Germany, first large companies to go out, get a listing on the New York Stock Exchange, put its accounting books to American standards, open up and try and go for what Jürgen Tramp, the Daimler CEO, has called shareholder value. This, more than either labor or the style of cars and the type of mass production, is what I think is going to transfer from America not only to Daimler but throughout Europe. The idea that the American style of financing makes a lot more sense.
If a group of Daimler-Benz vice presidents from Stuttgart were to meet a group of Chrysler vice presidents from Michigan, would they find each group find the other group roughly similar in terms of its social and financial expectations, or are they different kinds of folks?
Oh, they're very different kinds of folks. America is an outlier in the way it treats its management people. I mean, we pay them a much higher multiple of workers as opposed to in most other countries where managers don't necessarily make that much more than their workers. We also have a tendency in this country to bring in managers who are MBAs or someplace sometimes who haven't spent their life at the company. Now, in the auto industry, it's a little less that way in America, but it's still true. You have financial whizzes and so forth. In Germany, in these great storied companies like Daimler-Benz, you've mostly got people who've spent their entire lifetime in the company, sometimes ones who started on the shop floor, although more and more now it's people who have been to university. And they are people who don't have as much ostentatious wealth associated with them or as much sense that, hey, I'm pursuing my career and I may leave the company. Again, that may change over time. It's more likely to see some change in the German side than the American side on this. But for the time being, it will be a very big culture shock.
Well, Adam Posen, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Robert.
Adam Posen of the Institute for International Economics spoke to us from our bureau in Los Angeles.